The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in this morning, we do appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. What a day. On the shield here live in person. JVT is going to come over. He apparently was doing Follow the Money. He's going to walk over. He's going to avoid the shivings. He's going to come here and he's going to spend a segment with us. And then a little later on the show,
he's nimble. He can dodge.
He is. He's very agile. Nimble guy. Agile. Reflexes like a cat, I'm told. And then Will Hill later here at the table with us.
Big day.
Yes.
Big day. Will Hill in person.
This is a magnet. Will he bring his kids? I don't know. Maybe bring his
kids. Yeah, I don't know. He's got his whole family.
Yeah, we'll see. Jason Weingarten in between. Sadly, Jason will not be in studio with us. Or here at the table, I should say.
Yeah.
Can't have it all. And Matt Brown. Come on. Embarrassment of riches. Matt Brown will join his co-host of The Handle and Long Shots. Talk about his NFL draft plays, his golf thoughts for the RBC Heritage this weekend. Crack will be with us from the RBC tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
In South Carolina.
I know he's going over there. You're going to the tournament, though?
Yeah, I think he's like planning himself right in the tournament. This time he doesn't have to be outside the premises. He can actually be in it, you know?
All right, we'll have to work on him getting the lighthouse in the background.
He's doing the light. He's already said he's doing the lighthouse in the background. It's already taken
care of. Are you serious?
I swear to God.
Bill Krakenberger on location.
He's like, I'll have the lighthouse behind me. He already said it. Okay, we added more NFL draft props, Kelly and I, or at least I did. Did you add any yesterday?
Yeah.
We'll get to those.
I don't know. All these days are running together.
Guardians update coming as well. Okay, but first the NBA. We must talk about the Western Conference play-ins from last night. Specifically, we'll start with the first game where the Lakers get it done. The Lakers, as the 9 beat the New Orleans Pelicans, the 8, they win by 4 in the end. And they, for their victory, get the grand prize of now getting the 7th seed and having to face the Denver Nuggets in a best-of-7 first-round series. The defending champs will enjoy that. First, though, last night, what a ball game this was. Pelicans took a 10-point lead in the first half, 36-26 in the second quarter. Lakers then went on a 12-0 run to go up 2. Then when they were up 1, 45-44, they went on a 13-0 run. It was a 32-8 run in total at that point for the Lakers. They led by 14 at that point. They led by 10 at the half. They led by as many as 18 in the third quarter twice. But the Pels cut it to 7 by the end of the third quarter. Then they fought back all the way to tie it at 93 and then again at 95. But Zion Williamson, with his dunk to tie it at 95, putting in his 40th points, his 39th and 40th point of the night, I guess lands funny and is hurt. And so at the 3:13 mark, a few seconds later, the Lakers call timeout in the tie ball game. He was done for the night. And it was a collective groan from everybody when you saw him hobbling off, because this was a brilliant Zion performance. Best game of his career, and in the with the highest stakes, and one would say a reminder of just how great he is.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets hurt, which is also sort of part of the Zion story. Lakers would it would be tied at 97, 99 again, and the Pelicans never took the lead, though. Russell's three, D'Angelo Russell, who was great, his three that put the Lakers up 104-100 with under a minute left was pretty much the end, because then they free-throwed him to death after that. 2 from AD, 2 from Reeves, 2 from AD to seal the deal. And so the Lakers move on. The Pelicans are not done. They will now play the Kings, who crushed the Warriors last night, let me be accurate, in a elimination game. Winner takes the 8th seed and will play OKC in a best-of-7. The loser will be eliminated, just like the Warriors were eliminated last night.
And they're calling that Zion injury. It was leg soreness is what they first reported it as, and everybody was like, what are you talking about?
You don't leave
leg
a game soreness. For soreness.
Hamstring is what they're calling it now, and tests coming today, so.
Brutal.
You know, just looking ahead at that game, it's Pelicans. It was Pelicans 1. There's some places Kings 1 now. Pick them for a lot of spots. Until you know about Zion, makes it really tough for me to look at that game either side.
Denver Nuggets are a -310 favorite in their best-of-7 first-round series against the Lakers. Lakers +250 on the comeback. Is -310 too low?
Maybe. I was, so it opened, I stared at minus 285 for too long. I was like, that might be a little too low. And then it just started ticking up. So I might actually be looking to, I think we might have this option at a shop or two in town where I might actually be able to parlay a series price. Mm. So I actually might throw that in with the Mavs.
Okay. All right. And then again, the 9-10 game, or excuse me, not the 9-10 game, but the loser again, the Pelicans and the Kings will play, and we don't know about Zion.
Yeah.
So really that's the thing you have to wonder about.
Yeah, it's tough. It'll be interesting to hear from JVT. Right now, there's kind of nowhere I could go with that game until I know about Zion. At Sacramento, I'm still not. It was a great performance last night. Keegan Murray was incredible. You know, you got the Keegan Murray game, though, last night. And
he was awesome. By the way, that Kings-Pelicans game is on Friday night.
Right, yeah. You know, so are they going to be able to replicate that kind of success? I don't really buy into that, but you're talking about a Pelicans team. If Zion's banged up, Brandon Ingram couldn't even see the end of the floor last night in that game. So
Kings are one-point favorites, or we're showing the Pelicans as one-point favorites. I'm looking at a book that has the Kings as the one-point favorite, so it's kind of right in that pocket right now. Which
you can find it both sides. Pick'ems are out there, too.
Which presumes a diminished Zion at best, that line, to me.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, absolutely.
If he plays at all, right? So, nothing there. And Lakers-Nuggets, like I said, might end up tying that Nuggets series price in there, but that might be a series. I think after what we saw in the Western Conference Finals last year, I mean, it was a sweep. Every game was close and competitive, though, for the most part. That's a series, if I don't get involved in, I think will still be great to watch.
Remind everybody, tonight the Bulls, 3-point favorites in the 9-10 against the Hawks, and in the 7-8 in the East. Sixers now a 5-point favorite against the Heat. What are your plays in those?
Yeah, I laid it with the Sixers, laid 4.5 with the Sixers. I'd be fine laying 5. I mean, I guess at this point you should wait and know for sure that Joel Embiid is playing, but I we're in the NBA playoff time where injury reports are always going to be questionable.
Not like they're better in the regular season either.
But this is where they all try to hide stuff, right?
Can I do 3 minutes of sports talk radio?
No, of course.
Then
Drew really liked Atlanta-Chicago over tonight.
He likes
I know that was his favorite play of the play-ins.
Which is at 223 right now. Okay. The Warriors get crushed by the Kings. And I just feel like, as much as I've talked about the Warriors through the years, if you've listened to a numbers game and all the bets we've had on the Warriors through the years, that it deserves a mention that if that, in fact, was Klay Thompson's last game with the Warriors, now Steve Kerr says they want him back, it probably will come up to what Klay wants and who's going to pay him and who's not going to pay him to see if he remains with the Warriors. But if that, in fact, was the last game for Klay Thompson with the Golden State Warriors, it deserves a postscript to what I have referred to. And by the way, Klay last night goes out with the 0-for-10. And Evan Abrams posted, Klay played 882 games in his NBA career with 10-plus field goal attempts entering that game. It was the first time he went scoreless. Had never finished 0-for-3 field goal-wise or worse in any game prior to that. I referred to the Warriors dynasty as the most beautiful thing in sports a myriad of times here on this show, too many to count. And honestly, they have been. They drafted Steph Curry in 2009 with the 7th pick in the draft, while the Memphis Grizzlies of the world were drafting Hasheem Thabeet before that, and the T-Wolves were drafting Ricky Rubio and Johnny Flynn before that. And Curry fell after his magical run to the Elite Eight with Davidson. He fell to the Warriors at 7. And he was often injured early, had all kinds of ankle problems. A couple years later, the Warriors drafted a kid with the 11th pick out of Washington State by the name of Klay Thompson. And I just remember thinking at the time, Klay Thompson, big deal. And then the next year, after drafting Harrison Barnes, by the way, it should be noted, but the next year, they ended up trading midseason Monte Ellis, a little after the midseason mark, Monte Ellis. And the Bay Area fan base for the Warriors went ballistic. How could you possibly trade Monte Ellis away from this team? And I remember hanging out with Dr. Bob every day. I've said this many times on the show. And him telling people, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to this franchise. You have no idea what it means when Ellis is on the court, how it stifles this team, and when he's off the court, and when Steph is on the court. And nobody could really see it but the analytics community at first. And then in the second round of the 2012 draft with the 35th pick overall, they draft a kid out of Michigan State that everybody knew from his college runs, Draymond Green. And there established was these three guys that no one could have possibly imagined what would take place. And in 2015, they end up winning the NBA title. Bob had them at 40-1. And this is when the Giants had just won three World Series. Nobody believed the Warriors aren't supposed to win NBA titles. Mm-hmm. They win it in 2015. They come back the next year and go 73-9, breaking Jordan and the Bulls 72-10, and famously lose after being up 3-1 against LeBron's Cavs, which was a huge disappointment. But the next year they came back. It was the first year of Vesin. South Point had a prop. Will the Warriors win every single playoff game? Will they go undefeated? Guess what? They won their first 15. They came one game shy. They ended up going 16-1 in that postseason and won their second NBA title. This was with KD. The next year, they win it again for the back-to-back. And at that point, people were like, well, but two of them were with KD, so maybe the other guys aren't all that great. Yeah, well, don't worry about that. 2018, when they went for the repeat, it was all the injuries, right? It was Klay blowing out his knee in the finals. It was KD straining his calf in the semis and then blowing out his Achilles in the finals. That's what it took for the Raptors to beat them.
They tanked it
in 2020, remember? Because Steph only played five games and Klay was recovering. 2021, they lost in the play-in. 2022 was the year it solidified. They won the title again without KD. Two without him, two with him. And all along, they changed the game, the way the sport was actually played. And so if that's Klay Thompson's last game with the Warriors, let's pour one out for the most beautiful thing in sports. Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN Daily Newsletter. In today's newsletter,
oh, we got a lot of NBA play-in previews from Jonathan Von Tobel, Zach Cohen, and much more.
Only we could talk to one of those guys. Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. And sauntering over from Circa, where he just filled in on Follow the Money and has done so all week, it is our senior NBA analyst and the co-host of VSiN Primetime, which he does with Tim Murray each and every weeknight here at the network. It's Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody, at MeJVT, not courtesy of the Progressive guest line.
No, that's right. I'm here. So
that's right.
Progressive, well, I mean, they still get the pop, but yeah. I'm here. No guest line.
Before we get into your thoughts on the Nuggets and the Lakers, another series, I just want to conclude I was paying tribute to the most beautiful thing in sports, the Warriors dynasty, if it in fact is the last game of Klay Thompson. It might not be, but if it in fact was. The postscript to that story is, when they did tank, in quotes, the 2020 season, Steph only played five games, Klay was recovering from the knee, that they whiffed on the number two pick in James Wiseman. History will now say it in terms of Warriors' perspective. They whiffed on it. And so that ability to sort of sustain any dynasty, yes, they got the championship in 2022, but it was kind of a year where, remember, Ja got hurt in the playoffs. Jamal was out for the Nuggets. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like a holding pattern for the Western Conference that year, and so the Warriors capitalized on that because they were the steadiest ship. I just wonder, John, if they're now, the storybook ending, the fairy tale is you win the championship and you go out. But now is it the NBA purgatory for them no matter what happens the rest of Steph's career?
No, I wouldn't say no matter what. I think it definitely depends because they do have intriguing young talent now on the roster. You know, Brandon Podziemski is solid. Moses Moody performed pretty well. Obviously, Kuminga is probably like the stalwart piece of that. They look like he's going to grow. So I think it really just depends on what you're going to do here moving forward. We shouldn't ignore Trayce Jackson-Davis, who is now their starting center.
Yep.
So I think they've got some intriguing young pieces that if you handle your next few moves right, that you can at least be a competitor once again. I do think that includes, I know Steve Kerr did the whole like, we really want Klay back. I think you're okay with him leaving. Yeah. And I think, you know, like I brought up, this isn't the perfect one for one, but, you know, like Buddy Hield is going to be a free agent. know, Buddy Hield's going to be a lot cheaper, a much more consistent shooter, lesser defensively, but still Clay hasn't really been the dominant defender. Like, little moves like that and filling out your roster that way, I think you can kind of catapult yourself to being a little bit more competitive.
And you were saying GM Kelly Bidlin, Kelly was put on his GM hat last night, that, like, you were like, oh, if Clay could just be on the Pelicans and be one of these shooters with Zion.
Well, I blew up the whole Pelicans roster, but yeah. that was me texting you that of, like, I'd blow up the whole Pelicans roster, rebuild around Zion, Herb Jones, Trey Murphy, you know, maybe keep a couple of the smaller pieces. But I was texting you this. I'm like, but this is very dependent on Zion's health. And like 5 minutes later, he goes down. Yep. And then we're watching the Warriors game. And I'm like, you know, a good piece to add to my Zion team would be a Klay Thompson on the cheap, you know, to play a little 3-and-D. And then he goes like 0 for last night.
So my new Klay spot was in pinstripes in Orlando.
Okay.
Which I think would fit really nicely.
Yeah,
for a
that
team
would work.
Yeah, you know what I mean? A little inconsistent at the two guard in terms of shooting.
Yeah. Hall of Famer, Klay Thompson, when that day comes. Okay. Nuggets and Lakers. It's the 2-7. So for the Lakers' joy last night, they get the grand prize of having to take on the Nuggets, the defending champs, in a best of seven, and Nikola Jokic. We were saying minus 310 was the price on the Nuggets here. Is that too high? Is that too low? Is that just about right?
I think it's just about right. If you were to say, like, pick a side, I think it'd be a little too low. I have a lot of respect for Denver, the starting five that they have. While the Lakers, they've turned things around, and I've said they're better this year than they were last year. But the reason why they're better, Gil, is they've sacrificed their defense for offense. You know, if you look for the season, they're floating around 20 in terms of defensive efficiency, whether you sort for garbage time or, you know, just regular defensive efficiency. Post All-Star break, they were 22nd in non-garbage time defensive efficiency. And they've done that for a good reason, because they shoot the ball better, they have better perimeter players in D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves, but they're just not that great at the point of attack defensively. So I think it's a matchup where Jamal Murray has a lot of success. Again, you go back to last year, the thing that hasn't changed is, last time I checked, Nikola Jokic is still a member of the Denver Nuggets. Mm-hmm. They tried a lot of different things. They were one of the first, like, premier teams, we'll say, to try power forward on Jokic, have Anthony Davis as the roving defender. Didn't work. He averaged a triple-double on, like, 50% shooting against them in that postseason series. And so for me, with those differences being there, and I think that pushes them forward, I think that gets Denver to win the series. Now, where they get more competitive is Denver's bench is still an unknown, right? Bruce Brown's not there. Jeff Green's not there. And you do have guys coming off the bench you trust a little bit more in Torian Prince for L.A. But I still think ultimately when you can stagger your center minutes with a guy like Aaron Gordon to play center when Nikola Jokic is off the floor, when you have such an edge in the backcourt, when you still have a guy like Reggie Jackson to come off of the bench, to me it still gets me to the point where I think it's Nuggets in about six at worst.
Anything tonight in the Eastern Conference play-in games? What's your favorite series play that's established?
So I bet both games today. Kelly and I were texting about this a little bit yesterday. I laid 4.5 with the Philadelphia 76ers. I like this matchup for them. Tyrese Maxey cooked the Miami Heat in the regular season. If you look at the regular season series finale, he actually almost had like a 40-point triple-double in that game against Miami.
Yeah.
And Embiid's great. And they tried. I went back and watched that game again. They tried everything for Philly, for Miami defensively. They tried a zone. They tried a box and one. Like, they tried a lot of different things, and it just didn't work. And Miami, I'm sorry, but we're doing this resting on the laurels of a finals run from last year. Jimmy's talking again.
I was waiting.
Right, but their most used lineup stinks. Terry Rozier has been inconsistent, and he's unhealthy.
And he's out.
Yeah, I was going to say, exactly. So then you look at that point guard position, you're like, well, the guy we got to potentially fix our inconsistent offense isn't even going to be out there today. I just think there's too many things that work in the favor of the 76ers. Should also note, too, last 16 games, Philly, very quietly, 13-2-1 against the spread. They've really turned things on here. So I laid 4.5 here with Philly. I think that last time I looked, when I walked over here at least like 45 minutes ago, Circa was like 4.5 juiced.
Yeah.
So yeah, you go out there and lay a minus 115. I think that's playable. And for the other one, I double dipped a bit. I'm going to do this one last time. Atlanta money line, Atlanta plus 3. I think that this matchup works better for them here against Chicago. Chicago was dead last in opponent three-point frequency. Atlanta has turned it up. They're shooting more threes. They have Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, and Bogdan Bogdanović playing together. They're going to put up a lot of threes. And I go back to the regular season finale, Gil, for New York. One of the things that the Knicks did so well against the Chicago Bulls was, Nikola Vucevic, you're in every pick and roll, and we're going to attack you, and we're either going to use that soft area of the floor that you're going to leave when you drop, or because you're playing tight, we're going to cut baseline. We're going to kill you there. The Atlanta Hawks can do that, and I think they can do that really well. So I think from a matchup standpoint, this works for Atlanta. So I think Atlanta wins this game. I think they move on. I think they eliminate Miami. I think Miami doesn't make the postseason, and I think your 7 and your 8 are Philly and Atlanta.
Will you, sight unseen with the series price, will you be dipping on Philadelphia in the 7-2?
Yeah, I think yes.
So,
for me right now, Philly is like, it's. I don't think it's unfair to say. They're like the second best team in the Eastern Conference. I've got a future on them that I bet back in December before Joel Embiid got hurt and all the madness happened. That I was feeling really good about because they looked awesome. But when you look at Joel Embiid, not really having dropped off since he's come back. He's looked very, very good. And for me, the low-key thing is, and I think he's officially out for today, but D'Anthony Melton, it looks like he's going to be back for this postseason. And if that's the case, their starting lineup when they had him out there with Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, they had a plus 33.3 net rating in the regular season. They were awesome together. It gives you the defensive-oriented guard. You have your dominant backcourt scorer. You have Joel Embiid. I think this team is great. And, of course, the more important part, right, is the side of the bracket they fall on, which is avoiding Boston until potentially an Eastern Conference Finals. It's a pick now between Milwaukee and Indiana and that series price. So you could see a scenario where you're talking about Knicks, Pacers, and then the Celtics for the Philadelphia 76ers. So I say yes, not only would Philly be the bet for me in the Knicks series, but I think big picture, the Sixers maybe have a really clear path to finally make it to an Eastern Conference Finals at the very least.
What other series bets you make?
So I haven't really bet anything yet because they do have some investments like in some of these teams futures-wise.
Oh.
I'll say this. So, for example, I've got the Clippers at 30-1 to win the NBA Finals. I will say this now. If Kawhi Leonard's playing, that series price to me is wrong. They deserve to be favored against the Dallas Mavericks. There's this weird Mandela effect going on when it comes to the Mavericks and the success that Doncic and the Mavericks have had against the Clippers. The Clippers are 2-0 in the postseason series against against Doncic and the Mavericks. And here's the other thing. When you look at that matchup itself, guys, you know, if Kawhi Leonard plays, let's do a little bit of math. Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving are going to – one of them is going to guard one of Paul George, James Harden, or Kawhi Leonard. It's just simple math when you talk about these starting five that are out there. There's a lot of different mismatches that L.A. can also throw at the Dallas Mavericks in a series like that. Now, again, it is dependent on a team that has lied through their teeth multiple times about the status of Kawhi Leonard. But if you tell me Kawhi is healthy, I do think that there is value in that plus price now on the Clippers to win this series.
Excellent use of the Mandela effect, by the way.
Right? That's when everybody misremembers something, right?
That's correct.
Because everybody thought Mandela had, died earlier than right?
Is that what it was? I believe that it was, yeah. What was it also, some people believe that Mr. Peanut wore a monocle and he didn't or something like that?
Yeah, oh,
there's a lot of these things.
Well, one.
Mr. Peanut had a monocle?
No. Well, the big thing for me, since I have kids, it's, I don't know if you remember the old stories, the Bernstein Bears?
Oh, yeah,
actually the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, I JVT, you definitely informed me of that,
What is it? They're Beren, what are they?
It's Berenstain Bears.
Oh.
But I remember them as the Bernstein Bears.
Well, we tried to claim them, and they wouldn't let us have them. We're going to talk NFL draft on the other side. I know you've done 3 hours. You can stay if you want to talk NFL draft.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Still undefeated, ladies and gentlemen. No one's told me they're leaving. All right, we'll talk NFL draft. I added some more. We'll find out what JVT, let's just put it this way. What does he think he knows for sure? Let's start with that. On the other side, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free. Just sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes. You can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of the limited time offer. It is limited. Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2 week access to VSiN's betting splits. Don't strike out on potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits and start making smarter baseball bets or any bets in any sport today. We get tweets at Beanie the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Motor City Mike, hey, Gil, I had a dream last night that the Heat beat the Sixers and Jimmy Butler was wandering the court yelling, Tobias Harris over me, repeatedly. Should I read anything into this?
I mean, if they win, there's a 62% chance that happens, yeah.
Phil Weiss, the always lovely Phil Weiss. He goes, hey, thanks for the history lesson on the team that ruined the game. Or wait, was that a eulogy? Ruined the game is the most beautiful thing in sports, Phil Weiss.
Them are the Warriors?
Get out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Get out of here with your nonsense. That's the worst tweet of the day, no matter what else comes.
What's the argument there?
He's just
kidding. I mean, it's not then the Warriors, it's Steph ruined the game, right? That's what we're really talking about.
Ruined the game. Are you kidding me? James Sott. What? Mr. Peanut doesn't have a monocle. Next, someone's going to say Grizzly Adams didn't have a beard. Oh, I know those guys are liars. I messed it up.
Yeah.
It was Mr. Monopoly.
Yeah, the Monopoly man does not have a monocle.
Mr. Monopoly does not have a monocle.
Which,
Monopoly
as man, you pointed, pardon me. Which, as you point out, JVT, is the Ace Ventura 2, right?
That's where I think I think that's where the Mandela effect there comes from, because Ace Ventura knocks out that bald guy, takes his monocle, and then pretends to be the Monopoly man.
Excellent Ace Ventura 2 knowledge right there.
Yep.
And finally, Jason H11, for the love of ANG Nation, would someone please use the name of the sushi place as ransom before agreeing to another segment? Well, not quick enough. All right, I added some more NFL draft bets. And again, for me, these fall under the general categories of, I think these are going to win. These are the conservative ones. I think these are a little friskier, and they may or may not win. So, again, I started with the Jaguars will draft a cornerback with their first pick. That was even money. I actually added a little to that at minus 130 yesterday. So, position of the Jaguars' first selection in the 2024 first round of the NFL draft, plus 100 and minus 130 on the Jags picking a cornerback, which 100% of mock drafts seem to have. I also added that bet I talked about yesterday. Total first-round quarterbacks under 4.5 at plus 160.
The JVT bet.
JVT, you're on this too?
Oh, like every year.
This is – so there's – as Matt Humans made fun of me about this yesterday. I make two bets every single year of my life. Clippers to win the NBA Finals and total quarterbacks in the first round under.
Well, one of them gets there anyway.
That's right. And I'm sure you've noted this. Since we've had draft betting here in Las Vegas, you know, in the country, Las Vegas, whatever, we've had it for 7 years. This will be the eighth. 6 years it's gone under. The 1 year it went over, actually, it closed 5. So if you got that, you pushed. So you're talking about 6-0-1. I think it's been up there for a little bit. I bet it, I want to say about a week ago. But no, I think we overvalue this so much all the time when it comes to where these guys are going to go. Yeah. And I'm with you lockstep here.
What price did you get on it a week ago? Because that's what Gil and I were talking yesterday. That was probably about the high point, right?
Plus 260. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Wow. So that's what we're trying to figure out. We're trying to figure out how high it actually got. We saw a minus 250.
So Tim makes fun of me because I kept telling him. My term with him was the Diamond Strong Hands, Tim. Because this had been out there for a while. And I kept telling him, Diamond Strong Hands. Let this thing get up there.
Yeah.
And let's see what happens. One of the casinos, one of the books out here got to as high as minus 320 on the over, plus 260 coming back. And then,
So this is why I bet it, right? I bet it because it's just like it's the price.
Down.
It's too much. There's no way. So I got the plus one. Say, by the way, both the Jaguars first pick and the total first round quarterbacks under 4.5. Shout out to Stations, who actually takes large bets on these, and those were both at Stations. I also yesterday added Dallas Turner under 9.5 at plus 115 right here at Circa. Shout out for Circa for getting in on it this year. So that was still plus money on Dallas Turner under 9.5, the thinking being that he goes to Atlanta at 8 there. Those are the ones that I expect to win, right? Like, my expectation is I'm going to win these. Obviously, you make bets expecting to win, but those in the NFL draft category, those are the ones that I'm really, truly counting on. The ones that are, I'm just going with my intuition are the ones at the top here, which again are Joe Alt, fifth pick, plus 450. I'm listening to Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh from the beginning has said, I believe you start a franchise by drafting an offensive lineman. And if there's not going to be a trade, why will he not go there? At plus 450, I thought that was the way to go. And then the next two are Felica induced. Roma Dunze, sixth pick, plus 325. He had some intel on the Giants with Roma Dunze. He told us on the show last week. And with that as well, I went Roma Dunze, draft position under 8.5, which was also a limited bet. So those two are Felica, which, again, if those cash, he gets all the credit. And if they don't, we're going to tar and feather him in the town square. That's what we're going to do.
The other one you could look for, I mean, like DraftKings has this up. I don't know if we have any options in town, but they have the matchup Neighbors versus Dunze.
Yep.
So, like, you'd probably want to go with Dunze first plus 265.
I think I have enough of Dunze at this point. to be quite honest.
That's right.
All right, so JVT, before you tell us what you've actually bet beyond the under 4.5, maybe you haven't. I don't know if you've bet anything else. Mm-hmm. What do you think you know?
For sure. I'll be honest and say probably nothing for that. I mean, I feel I guess almost arrogantly confident about under 4.5 quarterbacks.
I like the arrogance.
Yeah, like we've had so many different examples of this. I'm still waiting for Will Levis to go to the Indianapolis Colts. I'm still waiting for Hendon Hooker.
I think there's still time.
Yeah, to be a first round pick. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm still waiting for Malik Willis to go to the Detroit Lions. I mean, we can go over and over and over again.
It's at the same shop where we're still waiting to cash our CJ Stroud pick number one tickets.
Yeah, right. I mean, we do this all the time. I mean, I also remember. I don't know if you guys do remember that the Dolphins had actually moved Justin Herbert over to Tuatagovailoa for their pick. So remember that too. That was the week of the draft, by the way. Like, I just think we do this all the time. We overrate where these guys are going to go. And when you really read the analysis of guys who break these down, talk to people like Dan Brugler over the Athletic is a good example in his beast. JJ McCarthy, he's got him as a first to second round pick, 21st overall. This is a man who talks to the people who evaluate these guys for a living.
Yeah.
And so like that coupled with, I did take some of JJ McCarthy over 5.5 at about plus 160. Because I think that too is, again, when you look at the way that this is breaking down, 1, 2, and 3, we could get a third at there. I actually think you talked about frisky bets. I'm toying with the idea of maybe using Joe Alt for the third overall pick because the Patriots, you know, just need to build that roster.
You never know.
Right, and you never know what could happen there. But I think that there's more of a reality than not that we get through 5 and only 2 quarterbacks are on the board and there's no real need to leap up to get one of these guys because they're just going to do what we always see, which is slide from what our previous expectations were. I don't think McCarthy's going out of the first round. I've come around on that, although I am still, I think, very much on the other side of the spectrum when it comes to, like, is he deserving of this top 5 thing? But I do think that there's, like, more of a reality than not that the Vikings could sit there at 11 and get J.J. McCarthy if they wanted to.
I just think I made this point yesterday. I think the main thing is with those Alt and Joe Alt and Odunze Betts is I am not betting on trades. And I think anybody who, like, bets in anticipation of trades, you're probably doing this wrong, right? Like, you just once you start doing that, what are you actually doing?
Yeah.
Right? So my whole thing is, and by the way, you could get completely torpedoed by the trades. I understand that. But if I'm going to bet that, I'm not betting it that way. I'm going to say, you know what? Everybody's staying where they are, and this is what they're thinking will be.
Well, and we've also gotten reports, and we had Paul Charchian out of Minnesota today on Follow the Money about this, so I asked him if he could corroborate it because he's got some information from Minnesota. The Texans were the ones that reached out to Minnesota about that trade. It was not Minnesota that started that process. It was Houston that reached out, asked for that trade to get done. The Vikings thought, well, this makes some sense. Let's do this. So a lot of people thought, oh, they're making that trade so they can use that ammunition to move up. When in the reality was they were approached. Now they have 2 first-round picks. If they want to move up, they can. But in reality, they just have 2 that they can spend in whatever way they want to. And it also had 2. You mentioned Dallas Turner. I did put a little bit on him to go 8th overall, specifically.
What was your number?
That was about plus 340.
Ooh, nice.
And that's down to about plus 250, 280, something like that.
Oh, I think it's down. I think it's plus 160 at DraftKings today,
so,
I think.
I'll shout out. Steve Palazzolo
had plus 170.
I don't know if you guys talked about this. Steve Palazzolo had an awesome tweet. Raheem Morris, as a defense coordinator last year, among defense coordinators, asked his edge rushers to drop back into coverage the most in the National Football League. Of the edge rushing prospects in the NFL, the NFL draft this year, Dallas Turner's at about 252. The next closest is Lyle Tulatu at like 70. So, like, when you talk about schematic fit as well, it just makes a lot of sense. So, and again, I might get burned because that's specific to the 8th overall pick. So, if they trade up and get him, I won't get it, but I don't think there's any need. They're going to essentially get the first pick, it would seem, of defensive players just sitting there at 8.
But that's almost like sometimes it doesn't have to be that hard. That might be too obvious not to bet in some way, right?
Sure.
I think it is right now.
Like I said yesterday, there's only 3 things I think I know. Caleb's going 1, Dallas Turner's going 8 to Atlanta, and the Jaguars are drafting a cornerback. That's all I think I know for sure. Everything else, you bet anything else besides before we get out here?
Yeah, Tulatu under 21.5. I think that's like 17.5 over at Circa, but that was 1-2 that I bet under. And then I did lay a pretty big price on the Titans to draft an offensive lineman. I laid $3 at for the Titans draft offense line with their first pick.
That might save you from the Alt going 3 because everybody else thinks.
And that was my thought too. They can trade, they can do whatever, but I think they're going offensive line.
JBT, everybody, at me JBT on Twitter again. Not only the senior analyst in the NBA here at VSiN, but also co-host Tim Murray, of course, VSiN Primetime, 6 p.m. weekdays Eastern here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thank you for coming over, man.
Yeah, of course.
Appreciate
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. Jonathan Von Tobel needs a nap. Go take one, man. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke on the other side. We'll talk baseball. We'll update that Guardians bet. Looking good. Next. Memo to Derek Stevens. I know you like Bob Seger, but this is out of hand. Oh, hey, don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boost, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VSIN. New customers bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. You were saying before we worked at the D here, Bar Canada, that you would have been like, Bob Seger's got a couple songs. Now.
Yeah, a couple songs I like, for sure.
Don't you feel like you could talk about Seger for hours now? Because you know the whole songbook.
Catalog. I mean, it's become a running joke. We're on a break, and I'm like, hey, Gil, is this Seger again?
That's Seger.
And they're like, yeah, that's Seger again.
Like Rock, still the same.
I just had to look up the meaning behind the song.
Like a rock?
Like a rock.
Because you thought it was a Ford commercial.
If you had told me that song was made just to go with whatever truck commercial ran for like two decades,
yeah,
I would have believed you.
Right.
Apparently it's, I don't know, about him coming out of a bad relationship. So I guess it's
I think all his songs are about relationships.
It's like motivating yourself. Like, I'm like a rock, man. Like, I'm good. I can handle this.
Hey, real quick, I have a tennis bet that is, first of all, I had two at VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest on the network with every sport, every one of their picks is at VSiN.com/picks for all subscribers. I had two tennis plays, but one of them was a walkover before it ever started. I had Tomas Mihac, who we've won on, sitting in here before.
Yep.
Spelled Machak,
yep,
remember?
Machak.
But it's Mihac. He got walked over. I guess he quit before the match even started by Davidovich Fokina. So that match never even happened. So the one remaining has yet to be played. It's going to be played in a couple hours. It's on the ladies' side. Everybody's on clay now. Not hard true. Actual clay now, Kelly.
Who cares?
I took a flyer. He wants his quarry. Until he's got his quarry, he doesn't care. I took Angelique Kerber, the old-timer, former slam winner, in the plus 170s against Emma Raducanu, our old girl from the U.S. Open run. You can actually get Kerber at a better price in the plus 190s right about now against Raducanu. But historical clay numbers are great. This will come down to, will she be able to find the glory of those historical clay numbers or not? If so, I think that's a great price to bet on with Kerber. That's the one remaining tennis play. Before we get to Jason, who's standing by, the Guardians. You know the bet. A lot of you have ridden this bet with me. March, April, most wins. Last night, the Guardians with a come-from-ahead, come-from-behind, extra-inning win against the Red Sox. While you were watching play-in games, I was fixated on the Guardians of the Red Sox. Nothing else in the world exists. And right now, at the conclusion of April 16th, as we now are at April 17th, the Guardians have the best record in all of baseball.
Let's go.
12-5, and on a tiebreaker, if it were to have ended today, we would cash this bet at 65-1. However, the bet does not end today. It ends April 30th, at the end of the day, April 30th. And the Guardians, even though we are in the driver's seat, we do not control our destiny because we got that one game. We were robbed of one game because of rain in Minnesota. So the Yankees and the Royals are the only two teams that control their destiny right now. Yankees also have 12 wins, but are 12-6 as opposed to the Guardians 12-5. And the Royals are 11-6. They have 14 games left. Yankees have 13 left. Guardians have 12 games left. But we are in a great position. 12 games left. Let's go. It's very exciting.
Like it.
Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke somewhere in Southern California. He knows of no such Guardians bet. He's doing his own thing. Comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, Jason?
Not much. So you do or you don't have a favorite Seger song?
I do. I do have a favorite Seger song.
I still like Night Moves. I'm a Night Moves guy through and through.
I like the slow one. What is that slow one called?
Oh, man, I just had the whole thing pulled up. Hold on.
I love that slow.
I like The Fire Inside, for the record.
That's a good one. There's some good ones.
We've Got Tonight. That's
We've
my
Got
jam.
Tonight. That's your jam, yeah.
Yeah. Who needs tomorrow, Jason? Why don't we stay? Sorry, got it in me for a second. I was feeling it. Tapped my soul for a second. What was your favorite one? What'd you say?
The Fire Inside.
I don't know that one. I'm not that deep.
I'm sure if we heard it, we'd be like, hey, it's Seger. And that song.
Anyway, the D is all about Seger, every three songs.
Against the Wind, that's a good song.
Against the Wind. Okay, Jason, did you the night that the Dodgers were $4 favorites, you bet them minus 2.5 that night?
I did.
Yeah. sorry to bring it up.
But at least, yeah. At least I saved.
Yes, you did.
It could have been worse. I could have bet the money line.
That's right. Absolutely. Do you ponder that in retrospect and go, whenever that happens again, I'm never doing that again? Or do you say, no, I'm going to dive in again?
No, I didn't much think twice about it. Yeah, okay. Just one baseball game. I didn't even actually watch it. So,
okay. Just checking. Yeah. Well, do you play anything today? Full day of baseball?
Yeah, it's actually kind of nice. We get a day, full day slate. We haven't had one of these really all year. So it's actually kind of refreshing. I bet Baltimore minus 101. I bet the Diamondbacks minus 117. Saya Suzuki, who I was real high on coming into the year, just went on the injured list. I'm kind of bummed about that. Then I laid 138 with the Braves against the Astros. Maybe we'll get good Max Fried, but that's a cheap price for Max Fried.
Okay.
Today.
I'm glad you didn't take the Red Sox, because I think the collective guest record fading the Guardians since this bet has happened is like 0-4. On this show. Don't go up against the Guardians.
They're like a rock.
All right, so Braves, say them. Braves, Orioles. Was the Orioles in there?
Braves, yep. Orioles, Diamondbacks.
Braves, Orioles, Diamondbacks. Okay. Three from Jason Weingarten this morning. Yeah. Have you added any awards bets so far, or have you laid low on those?
Well, I actually had a bet from the preseason that's now fairly live. Not like really live, but Andy Páez, the guy the Dodgers called up, I bet him at 200-1 before the season and 125-1 when I saw the news breaking again yesterday. He's going to be up playing outfield in the Dodgers lineup every day. So I think that was a really good price. I didn't think he'd be up in the middle of April. I thought he might be up in the middle of May or June. Still some 80-1s available. I know Caesars has 80-1. I think that's a pretty good price on a guy who's going to play every day. Like when I look at the rookie of the year stuff, I kind of throw out like a Max Meyer on the Marlins, like 23-1, like completely just absolutely useless number. He's not 20, you know, like he's never going to win. So I'm looking for guys like Páez, still 80-1. I think you're getting good value there. Paul Skeens, I mentioned him. I did actually bet a little bit on him. I think Jared Jones, you know, he's having a great season in Pittsburgh, but that's not a guy who's going to win rookie of the year. He might not even be the best pitcher on his team this year, although he is incredibly good so far. But yeah, I mean, I am still shopping around. I see all sorts of numbers going up and down. Michael Busch is down to 5-1 for rookie of the year, but you just got to remember these races have just kind of started.
Yeah,
don't get too attached to anybody. Or Colton Cowser, another example. That was a guy I wrote about for VSiN in early March. I recommended him at like 25-1. He's now a 3-1 co-favorite, but like don't expect him to run away with the award. I think actually Jackson Holliday now drifting out to like 5, 6, 7-1. It's probably where the value is there.
Yeah, let me step in also and say who Jason was talking about with the Dodgers, Andy Páez. It's spelled P-A-G-E-S, like pages.
Pages, yep.
Right, so Andy Páez, if you're looking for that in your
I thought Jason
in your
said
market.
Andy Podhead at first. I was like, Andy Podhead? Let me bet on that guy.
Well, he's Cuban. He's 23 years old. He's Cuban. He hits home runs. His launch angle, I think, is like the second highest launch angle in baseball behind Joey Gallo. He also has a cannon arm. So, you know, all the things I like to check off. Playing time, hits home runs, on a really good team, 80-1. We could win a lot of money from Caesars.
yeah, there you go.
So I'll check in boxes there.
You make any NFL draft bets, Jason?
I have not. I honestly don't have time to pay attention to it. I've been busy with baseball. I'm going to Costa Rica next week.
Look
so
at you.
Just don't have the time right now.
Man's going to Costa Rica. All right, real quick, because we got 30 seconds. Crawley Town with a draw yesterday. What does that mean?
Means it's probably coming down to the last day of the season. You ever get one of those last day of the season soccer sweats where you got, you know, this team needs to win, but this team also needs to lose. And you got, you know, picture in picture going on multiple different games. You know, that's probably what's going to end up happening in League Two for the last playoff spot. So it's pretty exciting. It's You know, exciting is one word, I guess.
It's one word. We say that on behalf of our buddy Preston Johnson and for Jason himself. We say that. We're looking forward to it. I'd love, as Preston said, if they make the playoffs, he's coming on the show. So I can't wait for that. Jason, thank you very much. Enjoy the baseball today. Good luck with the bets.
Thank you. I'll talk to you guys later.
Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia. From under a cloud of smoke, courtesy of the Progressive guest line again. He's on the Diamondbacks, the Orioles, and the Braves today. Three-pack. From Jason, Andy Pahis, the Dodgers for NL Rookie of the Year. We'll come back. Matt Brown will join us. Will Hill will join us. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.